we are again. If my voice sounds kind of squeaky still yet, still have this cold. I thought it might be something worse, and I tested for the big C, and it turned out, no, it's just a bad cold. And we're going to have a brief discussion on how to cure a cold. And I have had so many, not recommendations, but almost orders from headquarters. You know, you need to do this or you need to do that. And one says drink a gallon of NyQuil. And another one, I'm not saying this to embarrass anybody, because I'm not going to mention Terry's name. But you take a dirty sock and you put some Vic Salve on it and you tie it around your neck. I don't know if it's the smell of the dirty socks or the Vic Salve is supposed to cure your cold, but anyway, you're supposed to do that. And, of course, Angie, she had her own thing. She's had these little, well, they're not so little, really, capsule things. She's had NyQuil in them. I took them, and they seemed to help, which is why I'm here this morning. But I'm not as prepared as I'd like to be on this. This is an important chapter. And anyway, I'm going to do the best I can. That's all I can tell you. Anyway, turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 13. And these first seven verses are the ones we're going to talk about first, which is good because you normally start at the beginning and work your way towards the end. But Romans chapter 13, beginning with verse 1, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore you must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. This part of this chapter is used incorrectly on both sides of the aisle. I'll put it that way. And let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. So, what is the higher power? Those that God has placed in authority over you, or over us. I'll put it that way, over us. Now, does that mean that we're supposed to blindly follow? No. These things have there's stipulations, not necessarily presented here, but we're going to turn to another place here just in a little bit, and it's probably the only place we're going to turn to. But anyway, it says back in verse 1, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. Now this is true. God is the source of our power. If we have any at all, it's because of him. The powers that be are ordained of God. And that's true, too. You see, in the Old Testament, we did a study on the kings here a year or so ago. And every one of them, even the bad ones, were ordained of God. Sometimes you get a bad leader. Why? Because that's what you deserve. Sometimes you get a bad leader because that's what you ask for. Be careful what you ask for. That's why we have an election coming up on Tuesday. Now, we need to pray that whoever we vote for will follow God's word and do the things that are pleasing to God. But most of all, we need to pray that God's will would be done. Even if it goes against what we would like to have. I know what I would like to have, but I'm not running, so you know I can't be in control. And besides that, not president of the United States is not up for election this time. But anyway, these things are ordained of God. You know, and we might complain, and a lot of people right now are complaining about our leaders. And one side is complaining about this bunch of leaders, and the other side is complaining about that bunch of leaders. But you know what? Like I said earlier, sometimes you get what you deserve, and other times you get what you ask for. And I think we're seeing right now, we need to be in much prayer. We need to ask that the Lord's will would be done, not ours. And, well, you know, I'm not going to go political this morning. I don't have the energy for it. But anyway, in verse 2, whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. If you go contrary to what the law of the land is, and those that are in power, according to the Lord, it says here, you're resisting the ordinance of God. Now, is that in all things? No. And we're going to get to it here in a minute, but I'm going to go ahead and throw it in here. It's in the Lord. And that should go without saying to any child of God. What did the Pharisees say? The apostles said not to preach this word, and they filled the whole city. So you don't blindly follow, except in Christ. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Now, you might say, well, you know, we can't follow this president. If we follow him, we're going to receive damnation. And I'll have to agree with that. That's as political as I'm going to get this morning. But where is the supreme power? The supreme power is God. Resist not the higher power. God is the higher power. He is above all. Now, you could say that this is for everyday people, and it is. But this is also for the so-called rulers of the earth, those that are in positions of authority. They need to follow God's word. They need to do what would be pleasing to the Lord. And if they don't, these same rulers are going to receive unto themselves damnation. When God gives you authority over someone or something, and you use it incorrectly, and you don't please the Lord with what you're doing, there's going to be a retribution. First of all, he might take whatever it is away from you. Second of all, you know, you might lose that position of power or authority. Verse 3, for ruler is not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Well, that's as it should be, anyway. We have rulers nowadays throughout the world. If you say this about them, you know, you kind of wonder, you know. You have to remember, God uses evil kings just as much as he uses good kings, if there is such a thing anymore. Those that are in authority are still under God's power, under God's authority. Rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Well, I don't think we're to fear any man, but we are to fear God. Do that which is good. But what if the guy in authority over you says to do that which is bad? Again, it's obey in the Lord, in the Lord. Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. Those that are in authority, if you do good, they are to praise you if you're doing that. Those that are doing good, and boy, anymore, there's a lot of them, you don't know whether they're good or bad, just to be honest about it. But where can we find that out? Go to God's Word. Now, earthly rulers are still earthly people. They're men. They're sinners, just as we are. Only thing is, you know, if they're not saved, they don't know the Lord. They don't know to do good. I think there is a certain amount of knowledge that they have. They know to do good, but they don't. There are people that are just desperately wicked. I mean, you know, they think of nothing else but what else they can do. How else they can go against God's Word. Verse 5, wherefore you must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. Okay, if you're supposed to do something, if the law is that you do this, you do it. Not just because you're afraid of being punished, because it's the right thing to do. That's if it's the right thing to do. Verse 6, for this cause pay ye tribute also. We're going to be paying taxes here for too long. I'm sure everybody's happy about that. It's next year we're going to be paying the taxes, but we're probably paying taxes now, too. I don't know. I probably should have asked everybody before, are you paying taxes now? Every time you buy something in a high anyway, you know, you're paying taxes, you know. Taxes on taxes on taxes on taxes. And I can't see that money being used well, and hardly any of it to God's glory. So, we are to pay tribute to whom tribute, for they are God's ministers attending continually upon this very thing. Remember, well, they're placed over you for a reason. Now, you remember when Israel said, give us a king. Give us a king. Well, what did God say? Okay, here's your king. He told him what was going to happen. He's going to take the best of your flocks, and he was going to take your children, and he was going to... Boy, it didn't turn out real good, did it? We studied about in the kings, and after the two kingdoms separated, the kingdom of Israel never had a good leader the whole time. They went against God's will and they separated. And Judah only had a few. So if you go against God's will, things are going to happen. Verse 7, render therefore to all their dues. What they're due. It doesn't say any more than that. Tribute to whom tribute is due. Now, I got to throw tithing in here. I just have to. I mean, isn't tithing what we owe to the Lord at least? I mean, we think about it as we're giving it to the Lord, and no. We're giving him back a tenth part of what was already his and is already his. Does that mean the 90% that we maintain, does that mean that we can use it any way we want? No. That's the Lord's too. You need to use that to honor God as well. Tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear. Now, this one here is one that's a really rough condition nowadays. There is hardly any fear of the Lord other than in his people, and not a great deal in that, just to be honest about it. People walk around and even preachers of God say blasphemous things and from the pulpits of his churches. We need to be careful. God is not mocked. There's gonna be a time of payback, so to speak. And we don't think of God as a guy that looks for payback. But on top of being a loving God, he is also a just God, and sin must be punished. If he will not punish sin, he is not God. And he is God. So sin will be punished. And then lastly here in verse 7, honor to whom honor? Do we honor God? We're to be in much prayer. Do we come before him just a few times during the day, or do we have a spirit of prayer basically throughout the day? We need to always be in the spirit of prayer at least. It's kind of hard to ignore God when you're talking to him all the time. And I don't mean every second of the day, but, you know, it could be that you need to have that closeness. If you're not close to the Lord, you're close to somebody. Turn to Ephesians. Chapter 5. And we're going to read part of chapter 5 and part of chapter 6. We're going to start with verse 22, and this is probably not the best portion of Scripture I could turn to, but it's the one that came to my mind, so this is the one we're going to use. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning with verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord, as you would to the Lord. The Lord is not going to ask you to do something ungodly. If your husband doesn't ask you to do something ungodly, then you are to follow him. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. Again, in the Lord. It goes on here, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Now, we talk about, you know, two becoming one when you get married. And actually, after that's true. When you're away from your wife or your wife is away from the husband, you know, you're not complete. And I've had to do that from time to time. And couldn't wait to get home. You know, everybody talks about what they'll do when they get home. And when I get home, I want to see my wife. It's the first thing I want to see. But anyway, chapter 6 now. In the first 9 verses of chapter 6, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Again, in the Lord. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. We get a promise with the commandments there, don't we? This is the first one. Honor your father and your mother. That it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. I know there's a few times when my youngers, they didn't mind me the way I thought they should, and I thought they were going to live a short time on the earth, but and maybe they did too. I don't know. But anyway, you remember, to a certain extent, as much as the Lord will allow, those that have authority over you, your life is in their hands, again, as much as the Lord will allow, because he is the supreme power. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Now, Connie says I have a problem with this. I think I'm completely reasonable. You know, you tell your kids do exactly as I say, or else they should do that, right? Well, I don't know. We'll wait and see. But anyway, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. This is the most important thing. What did he say? Teach them how to drive? No, or teach them how to cut a 2x4 with a power saw, or teach them how to put big salve on a dirty sock and put it around your neck? No. He says, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's the most important thing that a parent can do. Yeah, you need to teach them other things as well. But if this ain't first, the rest ain't going to follow. Verse 5, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, and singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Now, how are we to be obedient to Christ? Everything that Christ would have us to do is in the Lord. Right? And I believe that this is, you know, you follow the master, whatever he might be. Is he your boss? Is he your president? Or what, governor? Whatever he is. You follow what he says to do as unto Christ. We're in the Lord. Verse 6, not with eye service as men pleasers. Well, we got a lot of them, don't we? I'll do this as long as somebody's watching, and then we'll see what happens later. But as the servants of Christ, you need to do things just like you're doing it for the Lord. Doing the will of God from the heart. You think God is pleased with things that you do grudgingly for the, say, a brother or sister in Christ or the church, or even you might think of for the Lord. If you're not doing it willingly and joyfully, you're not doing it for God anyway. You're doing it for yourself. Verse 7, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Do everything you do as unto the Lord, not to men. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. You're going to receive just as you give. The Lord's going to provide for you. And ye masters, do the same thing unto them, forbearing threatenings, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is the respect of persons with him. You're no better. If you're one of the leaders, you're no better than the least grunt, so to speak. We've had people in our church that have been in the Air Force, and I suspicion that they were mostly grunts. But you know what? In the eyes of the Lord, that general, in the eyes of the Lord, is no better than that grunt. And I believe in some cases maybe he's higher up, or she, as the case may be. Anyway. Anyway, I'm going to stop there. I'm starting to lose my concentration a little bit here. Y'all be praying to me that I get rid of this cold, because it's bad. I mean, it's almost like leukemia, only not. I mean, it's bad, when a man has a cold, that is the worst possible illness on the face of the earth. I mean, you know, it is worse than anything else anybody could have. If you've been in a car wreck and both legs are broken, your arms are twisted sideways, and it's, a man with a cold is much worse. So always remember that. Anyway, everybody stick around. In about five minutes or so, the pastor's going to have a great message, and hopefully he won't sound like me.